Revelation. Revelation, the first chapter, verse 4. So thankful you're in the house of the Lord. Amen. What a good group that can come together in Jesus' name. And the beauty of that is not only our fellowship and our time that we can enjoy together, but the promise is, Jesus said, there will I be in the midst. Amen. And we've enjoyed his presence as we've worshiped, and thank God he will bless his word to our hearing tonight. Revelation 1, beginning at verse 4, let's read together on down to verse 6. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. I want to focus on the latter part of verse 5. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. Feels good to be blood washed. Thank God. Blood washed by the precious blood of Jesus. You may be seated. Now, in order for something to be washed, the question is begged. I guess that's a literary device. Sounds kind of funny to me. You beg the question. That it needed washing. It needed cleansing. It needed to be cleaned up. In order for us then to have been blood washed, there was a need. There was a drastic need for us to be cleansed, because we had no means, we had no way of bringing about that cleansing in our own abilities and our own ingenuity. The Bible concludes in Isaiah 64 and 6, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That indicates cleaning, unclean, filthy. There's got to be a cleansing. There's got to be a cleaning. And we're not talking about just a garment or a pair of socks or some kind of coverall outfit that we use when we're working under the car, or an apron that we get different cooking materials and so on in the kitchen. We're talking about our righteousness. We're talking about the very core of our being. It was filthy. It was unclean. But thank God, our God did something about it. Because of that condition, Isaiah 64 and 6 goes on to say, we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities or our sins like the wind have taken us away. Everybody say all. The scripture concludes that all are unclean. All of our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. All of us fade like a windblown leaf blown about because of our sins and iniquities. We did not measure up. We were not able to stand before the Lord and say, I am righteous, even though there are those who would claim their own righteousness and make themselves to feel perhaps that they measure up. No, Romans 10 and 3 says, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Again, it falls into the category of being filthy, not able to meet the standard and the level that God desires of us. Ignorant of God and his righteousness. therefore going about to establish our own righteousness. In that effort, we've not submitted ourselves to the righteousness of God. But thank the Lord, He stepped on the scene. He came to this world. He recognized where we are. He said, I'm going to do something about it. They're ignoring me. They're going about to establish their own way, but I'm going to show them my righteousness and the power that can be theirs as they reach out to me. Thank God. Philippians 3:9, the Apostle Paul said, I want to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The law could make no one righteous. Righteousness could not be attained by the law or all of the efforts that we would put forth in keeping the law. Righteousness comes by faith in Christ. Thank God for the blessing that He makes available. I'm thankful it's not dry cleaning. I'm glad I can go down in the waters of baptism in the wonderful name of Jesus and have every sin remitted, every sin removed. Praise God. For the remission of sins is why we have been baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. And the Lord declared in Matthew 26:28, this is my blood, He said, of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. I'm thankful no matter how much you pile it up. I'm thankful no matter how much it's blown about like the wind. I'm thankful it's no matter how high you pile those faded leaves. I'm glad the blood of Jesus is able to minister to each one, each individual, each heart, each life, and bring about a change. Oh, thank God we have been blood washed. Thank God the power of the Lord has ministered to our needs and touched us in a wonderful way. And I know what it means to be clean. I know what it means to have the filthiness washed away. I know what it means to be purified by His touch and every sin remitted in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. His blood is applied to me for the remission of sins when I go down in the water in His wonderful name, buried with Him in baptism. Oh, hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my part in this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this I plead, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, I'm thankful for the touch of the Lord to bring His cleansing and His help in our midst. And so we're washed in the blood. You may be seated. We're washed in the blood. He loved us. He loved us. And then He washed us. And then He made us. Oh, thank God that He didn't push us aside. I'm thankful He didn't say, okay, go ahead, establish your own righteousness. You're ignorant of my righteousness. You're not going to submit yourself to my righteousness. All right, you go and paddle your own boat. You go and make your own way. I'm thankful the Lord loved us. Even in our sin, He loved us. And so Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commended His love towards us. He demonstrated His love. It wasn't a philosophical quality that was floating around in the cosmos, and God would just observe that and be way beyond our thinking and our levels, His ways being way beyond our ways, His thoughts being way beyond our thoughts. I'm so thankful the Lord recognized where we are and was able to step on the scene and die for us. Praise God. It was that substitutionary death. It was that sacrificial death that brought about the change whereby we can be washed. We were yet sinners, but Christ died for us. And as a result, 1 Corinthians 6:11 comes to pass. Such were some of you, But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Thank the Lord for a washing that we could not accomplish on our own. We could not earn it. We could not justify ourselves. We could not become worthy enough. But He washed us. He sanctified and justified us. It was in His precious name, the name of Jesus. It was by the Spirit of God, the wonderful Spirit of the Lord. Note the elements of the new birth where Jesus declared you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Thank God it was fulfilled and the Lord demonstrated His power. Not just ritual, not just ceremony, but God doing a powerful work as He washed us in His blood. Titus 3:5 says, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done. This is the NIV. But because of His mercy, He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Thank God He washed us. And 1 Corinthians 6 goes on to describe what we were washed from. There was definitely the filth. There was definitely the uncleanness. We were washed from being sexually immoral, from being idolaters, from being adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexual offenders, thieves, greedy, drunkards, slanderers, swindlers. Thank God the Lord washed us. He washed us. Hallelujah. Thank God. We don't have to rely upon any kind of psychological bent. We don't have to have any kind of rehabilitation. But the hand of God steps into our lives and moves into our situation and washes us. Hallelujah. The apostle said, be not deceived. Be not deceived. There are those in our society today who are definitely deceived into thinking those kinds of lifestyles are okay. We may refer to them as alternative. We may call them same sex and all of this kind of stuff that is being legislated. But the Word of God says we needed to be washed from it. And thank God He washed us. He cleansed us. Don't be deceived. That's the reason we really need to be washed. Amen. And another reason we needed to be washed is because those kinds of lifestyles will keep you out of heaven. Amen. Notice the first and the last verses of verses 9 and 10. Inherit the kingdom of God. These things will keep you from heaven. These things will keep you from inheriting the kingdom of God. These things will keep you, and they need to be washed. Thank God. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed, hallelujah, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Thank God we lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God that we can know that power and be blessed by His Spirit and move into the realm of being blood washed. Now, this is not blood being shed. Sacrifice, death, and so on. That originated in the Old Testament. We know in Exodus 12, perhaps one of the most noted sacrificial lambs was for the Passover. The Passover. The angel would come with death for all of the firstborn. But when blood was observed to be applied to the doorposts and the door lintel, that angel would pass over that household. The firstborn would live. And thank God the Israelites had faith in that sacrifice, in that Passover lamb, and the obedience to the plan of God to apply the blood. And while there was a cry, while there was anguish, while there was devastation and heartache from Pharaoh's palace on down to the smallest hovel in Egypt, where those who did not obey the word of God and they suffered the loss of their firstborn, thank God the Israelites recognized if we apply the blood, if we do the work of God, if we obey what His word declares, we will have life and the death angel will pass over Oh, how important that we understand today that blood has got to be applied. David prayed for washing. Wash me, he said in Psalm 51 and 2. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sins. This is when he recognized he had done wrong. His adulterous relationship with Bathsheba and then arranging for her husband to be killed on the battlefield was not ignored by God. It could not be swept under the carpet. It didn't matter that he was the king. It didn't matter where he was in his leadership of Israel. He had to come to that place to God for a washing. Wash me, he declared. Cleanse me. Verse 7, purge me, he said, and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Thank God there can be that kind of cleansing. There can be that kind of washing. It was the sacrifice of bulls and goats back in that day. And Hebrews chapter 9 mentions the blood of animal sacrifice seven times. Seven times it makes the distinction between animal sacrifice and bloodshed there and the precious blood of Jesus. I'm thankful to know we don't have to go through the blood of bulls and goats. We don't have to go through all of that aspect because Hebrews 10 and 4 says it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. But thank God there is a sacrifice. Thank God there is one that was made. Thank God there is blood that was shed. Thank God there is a lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. Thank God there is power in the blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Hallelujah. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There is power in the blood. Power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God for the blood of Christ. Thank God for the redemption that was provided for us. Hebrews 9 and 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That was the case in the Old Testament. That's why the writer mentions blood seven times in that chapter 9 of Hebrews, because he understood how necessary it was. But yet it can be concluded, the blood of bulls and goats did not take away sin. But thank God, by his own blood. In verse 12, he said he obtained eternal redemption for us. Not redemption for a span, not redemption for a time, but eternal redemption our God has provided for us. Colossians 1 and 14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Oh, I'm thankful for redemption that forgives the stupidity of my youth. It forgives the wrongs, the mistakes, the sins, the iniquities, the transgressions of all that I did when I was ignorant of the Lord and I didn't submit myself to his righteousness. I'm thankful that he forgave me. Hallelujah. But it came with a price. There was a price that was paid. It was not with corruptible things like silver and gold. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1 and 19, it was the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Passover lamb that was sacrificed back in Exodus 12 did not get the job done. But my Lord, my God, put on flesh. A body was prepared, and he came to give his blood. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Thank God when John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, he could also add, which taketh away the sin of the world. I'm glad I've been bought with a price, and I value that price. That price is precious. That price is awesome. That price is wonderful. And so Paul declares in 1 Corinthians 6:20, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, because you have been bought with a price. He goes on in 1 Corinthians 7:23, don't be the servants of men as though that's who you have to please. No, we please the one who paid the price. You are bought with a price. Thank God he made a way for us. His blood is the sacrifice for sin. In John chapter 6, when he fed the thousands, he told them, you will drink my blood and you'll eat my flesh. They couldn't understand that. They couldn't grasp it. There were many that walked away. There were many that left, even though they had full stomachs, even though their hearts were thrilled with what they heard and what they saw and the miracle and so on. They didn't understand what he was saying about his blood and his body. We know it was the cup and the bread that he was going to share with his disciples at what we call the Last Supper. He said, this is my blood. This is my body. We commemorate it in communion, the service we call communion. But oh, I'm thankful. I'm thankful we can look back at the price. I'm thankful we can understand he gave his all. He sacrificed completely. He prayed in the garden, the Bible says, and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He prayed for the cup to pass from him. Just like any ordinary man, just like anybody in flesh, does not want suffering, does not want anything to do with it, with harm and pain and uncomfortableness and inconvenience and all of that. He prayed, let this cup pass from me. But I'm so thankful he also prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, that God would help us to pray in that manner as well. He was arrested. He was brought before Pilate. Pilate washed his hands when he recognized that he could not prevail upon the Jews to set him free, even though he gave them an option. Who would you like to have set free? Barabbas, this man who is a murderer, this man who is an insurrectionist, this man who is a thief, he deserves to die. You want to set him free, or do you want to set Jesus free? And he could have gone on and described the miracles, the teaching, the healing, the power, the blessing. But the crowd cried out, free Barabbas. Pilate recognized, I can't do anything about this. And so he washed his hands. Was it a mockery of the Jews and their tendency to wash their hands continually? No, he was declaring, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. I wonder if he knew that Deuteronomy 21:6-9 had a ceremony of washing to put away the guilt for innocent blood. But oh, the fact remains, just a few days later, he could have heard preaching on the day of Pentecost. Pilate could have been baptized in Jesus' name. He didn't have to go through the ceremony of signaling his servant to bring a bowl and then him daintily dip his hands in it and dry them on a towel as the servant so attentively provided for him. He could have been baptized in the precious name of Jesus. He could have known what it is to be cleansed. His wife likewise could have been baptized, and no more bad dreams, no more horrible things coming to her in the midnight hour, but a peace that passes understanding as the power of God would come to them, and their blood-washed souls could rejoice in the power and the blessing of the Lord. Oh, thank God for the cleansing of his precious blood. But when Pilate offered the option, and he asked the question, what then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate again, with his washing the hands and so on, was trying to point out that he's innocent. Why do you want to crucify him? He's innocent. This his innocent blood. I'm innocent of the blood of this just person, he declared. The chilling request of those Jews that cried out, his blood be on us and on our children. What a terrible request. What a horrible thing to have passed on to the generations of the Jews and so on. But oh, I'm thankful to understand that Peter answered them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, my friend, I want the blood of Jesus to be on me and to be on my children and to be on my grandchildren. Not a blood guiltiness, not someone who callously push the Lord into crucifixion, but oh, baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost, knowing what it is to be blood washed because of what He's done, because of how He's provided. Oh, thank God for the blood. In sin I wandered sore and sad, with bleeding heart and aching head, till Jesus came and sweetly said, I'll take your sins away. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood that washes white as snow. How wonderful God's mighty plan. How grace the awful gulf did span when He took on the form of man to wash our sins away. Oh, thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Don't do the blood wrong. Don't do the blood wrong. Under Moses' law, Hebrews 10 says, the wrongdoers died without mercy. You may be seated. Verse 29 of Hebrews 10. Think how much more terrible the punishment will be for those who have trampled underfoot the Son of God and treated His cleansing blood as though it were common and unhallowed. The Living Bible presents it so clearly and insulted and outraged the spirit that brings God's mercy to His people. Oh, no, I'm going to thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Because there's so many benefits of the blood. So much that we can be appreciative for. We are cleansed. 1 John 1 and 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Drop down to verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Note that it says all sin. Note that it says all unrighteousness. That is quite a cleansing, friend. You can't find that in any supermarket or any laundromat. You can't find it in any psychologist's office or any hospital. Thank God for a cleansing. That the Lord says, I'll take care of your unrighteousness. I'll take care of your sins. I'll wash you. I'll cleanse you. I'll make you pure and clean. Thank God for the blood. Oh, thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. The veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. What an eyewitness for those who ministered in the temple at that time, that when the Lord cried out, it is finished, that veil was torn. And Hebrews 10 and 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness, the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Thank God we can enter in because of His blood. Not only are we cleansed, but because we're cleansed, we're now able to enter into the presence of God and have the touch of the Lord in our lives. Amen. Boldness to enter. The margin says, liberty to enter. Thank God we have boldness, we have liberty to enter into the presence of God and know it's because of His blood, not because of how good I am, not because of my righteousness, not because of what I'm able to do, but because I've been washed in the blood. I've been washed in the blood. I've had the touch of Jesus in my life. Thank God we have peace. Colossians 1 and 20. These are the benefits of being washed in the blood. Colossians 1 and 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Oh, I'm thankful for the peace that the Lord brings to us, that we can rest assured we've been washed in His blood. Thank God, all of that humiliation, all of that shame, shame, all of that embarrassment, all of those problems, thank God, are washed in the blood, and I have peace as I walk with my God. The turmoil and trouble of heart and mind are made peaceful by His blood. The peace of God that passes understanding keeps your heart in mind through Christ Jesus. Oh, I'm thankful for the peace that He brings to us. Those who were far off, Ephesians 2 and 13. This is dealing with the animosity, with the prejudice, with the problem between Jew and Gentile, Jew and Samaritan. It was very real. It was very difficult. The prejudice, the discrimination that existed there. They were afar off, but now they're brought near by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. He is our peace, verse 14 says there in Ephesians 2. Verse 15 says, He makes peace among people. Oh, thank God that we can know the Prince of Peace and be blessed because we've been washed in His blood. Leviticus declares very clearly and very affirmatively. Medical science did not understand this. And so they had a practice called bloodletting. It wasn't barbaric. It wasn't it wasn't done under conditions that were unsanitary. They did the best they could. They had little bowls that you could drape your arm in, and they would lance your vein and the blood. They thought you had bad blood, and so they'd let it drain out, when in reality they were killing the patient. Life is in the blood. Thank God. Life is in the blood. That's true for the natural body. Blood courses throughout your body to every cell and brings nutrients there. And then it takes away the waste from those cells and cleanses the body. Thank God. Life is in the blood. In the spiritual sense, oh, it's even more so. Thank God we can have life by His precious blood. Amen. In my body, in my spirit, in the spiritual realm, the blessings of God, He brings healing. And so it's no wonder that it is mentioned in Isaiah 53 and 5 as prophecy looks ahead that with His stripes we are healed. With the scourging that fell across His back, the cat of nine tails embedded with bone and stone ripped His flesh, and His blood ran down His back and the back of His legs as again and again that whip fell across His back. He was being scourged. He had stripes laid across His back so that you and I can be healed. Oh, I'm thankful there is that touch of the Lord that means salvation. And I'm thankful the double cure is included in the divine design. I can be healed. Hallelujah. Because He paid the price. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Prophecy looked ahead in Isaiah 53 and 5. With His stripes we are healed. And fulfillment looks back in 1 Peter 2 and 24. Peter declared, you were healed by His stripes. He had already seen it happen. He'd already been witness to that power. He'd already recognized when the lame man was leaping and walking and praising God in Acts chapter 3. Oh, it works. His stripes brought about the healing. His blood was shed so that there can be healing. The man was over 40 years old and he had never taken a step in his life. But now, because of the stripes that were laid upon the back of our Savior, he is now leaping and walking and praising God. Peter wrote those words about you were healed, and he saw the healing. In Acts chapter 9, he met a man by the name of Aeneas, and he was paralyzed for 8 years. But Peter said, rise up. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. And the man who had been in a paralytic condition for 8 years was suddenly walking and able to bend over and make his bed like Peter told him to. Thank God that our Lord knows how to bring about the healing as well. in that same chapter of Acts, chapter 9, Peter came where a lady named Tabitha or Dorcas had died. And the people were so concerned. They were so upset. There were those who were showing the garments that she had made. And they were feeling so bad. Their eyes were red. They were weeping and crying and wiping their noses and feeling like it was such a difficult time. But Peter knew about healing. Hallelujah. Peter knew about the hand of God. Peter knew about the blessing of the Lord. It wasn't some sickness. It wasn't some disease. It was death that had claimed her. But he called her name. And she got up. Hallelujah. Because my God, by his blood, knows how to bring about the healing. Ha. Oh, yes. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Thank God for the double cure, the healing of the sick and the sins being forgiven. The blood of Jesus will do both. Thank God. And it's not power in the oil. It's not power in the hands of the elders, even though Jesus said he'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. No, it's Jesus' resurrection power. It's resurrection power of the risen Lord. The Lord is going to raise you up. Thank God for that kind of healing. Thank God for that kind of power. And the blood will never lose its power. Hallelujah. Thank God the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Hallelujah. It soothes my doubts. It calms my fears. That same blood dries all of my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Why don't you stand to your feet right now and give praise to the Lord? Oh, yes, exalting that name. Exalting that name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah.